Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Welcome to Nutrition to Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health, active aging as well. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their rate. So you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, hormonal issues, skin conditions, digestive problems, out-of-control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. You can find out more about me on my website, NutriHeal.net, and also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. This week, we're talking about menstrual blood, the sixth vital sign, and what can menstrual blood and your cycle tell you about the state of your health. Now, menstrual blood is not something that we openly talk about, and for some people, it might completely be taboo. But it is important to know that menstrual blood can tell us so much about our state of health. And when we start to connect and understand what our menstrual blood is telling us, we have the keys to unlock our state of health so that we can make improvement in many different ways. Today is going to be really eye-opening. We've got Melinda McDougall with us. Melinda McDougall is a registered medical herbalist who specializes in women's health and natural menopause support. She runs a busy online clinic seeing patients across the UK and beyond and helps women to find natural solutions to their health problems. She lives and works in London and is the former vice president of the National Institute of Medical Herbalists, which was established in 1864. You can download her free guide to herbal medicine and menopause on her website, MelindaMcDougall.com. And McDougall has a double L, by the way. And you can also follow her on Instagram, on Facebook, and LinkedIn. So just look up Melinda McDougall Herbalist. It's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here this week.
Oh, thanks, Dora. It's wonderful to be here with you again and to be discussing such an important issue.
It's a bit taboo. People might get a bit embarrassed. Obviously, we don't. I always look at my period blood. I always have. And I ask other people what it's like. You know, that's what you do when you're a practitioner. But maybe some people, just normal people that haven't seen a herbalist or a nutritionist, maybe they don't really think too much about it. Tell us, have you always taken an interest in menstrual blood and what it says about our health?
I have. I've always been fascinated by periods, menstrual cycle health, the taboos around it, the taboos in people speaking about it. I had a woman come up to me. I was speaking at a festival last year and I was doing a talk about perimenopause and heavy menstrual bleeding. And she came up to me afterwards and she must have been in her, you know, in her 40s. And she said to me, "Wow, I didn't know that what I was experiencing was not normal. I just I've just been putting up with it and getting on with it. And I think that really symbolizes, you know, even in this day and age when there's so much information around, there's still a lot of women out there who, you know, they don't know, they don't have the information to hand, they don't know what their menstrual cycle is telling them. And it's such a rich seam of information as to how our body is functioning.
What does a healthy period look like?
So I find period blood is a really fascinating substance. So it contains blood, obviously, red blood cells. It contains cells from our womb lining. It contains cervical mucus and vaginal secretions and proteins and hormones and stem cells and lipids. Normal period would have a really good flow. So by that, I mean it's not full of clots. And it would probably be a sort of a bright red color. Although darkish brown and light pink can also be a very normal menstrual flow. You don't want it to be too heavy. By heavy period, you're changing period products like tampons and pads like constantly throughout the period or the first few days of your period. And typically it is a little bit heavier on those first few days and then tapers off. So that's what a regular period looks like. It's usually lasts from 3 to 5 days, but we know that sometimes it can last for 7 days with some people, and that can also be normal. We hear about the average cycle being 28 days, but in reality, we're looking at 21 to 35 days as a normal cycle. So that's some kind of parameters. You know, it can be very individualized, and just because you don't fit into those parameters, it's not necessarily cause for concern. But keeping an eye on your flow and any irregularities can be a really good indicator of your health.
This really opens up our eyes because we know now what is normal. So it should be a good flow. It's actually flowing. It's not taking time to flow out. Bright red, darkish brown or light pink, 3 to 5 days, but sometimes it can go up to 7 days. And we're looking at a 21 to 35 day cycle. And
yes.
It's really good for the ladies out there to know that. What does the flow or the absence of flow tell us about our health?
So there's a few things about flow that are really good to look out for. So if you're getting lots of clotting, I mean, sometimes this can be quite severe. Like I've had patients who've had clots that have been size of a 50p piece or more. Some people have described golf ball levels of clots to me. And that usually does accompany a quite heavy bleeding. And this usually tells us that your womb lining and the uterus is having trouble shedding the lining, coming out in clumps, that the flow is not just a nice steady flow without any clot. And this can sometimes represent an issue, like you might have too much estrogen circulating in your body, or you might have a lack of circulation to the uterus and the pelvis. And this can often accompany cramping as well. So usually women who have a lot of cramping might also experience clotting as well. So we want to get the circulation flowing a bit better to the womb. And we also want to make sure that your hormone balance is correct so that you don't have too much estrogen in your system and that your liver is breaking down in excess estrogen and then sending that excess estrogen to your bowel to then be excreted out of your body and not recirculated through your bloodstream again. There's a few things I've highlighted there, Dora, that you might want to pick up on.
Because women, they might have always had clotting and thought it was normal, but it may be that they're just not moving around enough. They're very sedentary and they need to move. Do you prescribe exercise sometimes for this?
Exercise, absolutely. And also gut health and bowel health really comes into it as well, because I often find that when there's a lot of clotting, it usually does marry up with some constipation as well. So the whole of that sort of pelvic area, because you've got to imagine in your abdominal cavity, the womb, the bowel, you know, the bladder, they're all quite close to each other. And when one thing isn't functioning so well, usually the others are being impacted as well. So looking at gut health is really important. Exercise is really important. You know, some of the herbs that I use that increase circulation to that pelvic area are herbs like yarrow, sometimes dong quai if there's not heavy bleeding. Lady's mantle is another one I use a lot of as well. So these really help. But yes, exercise is key as well.
What nutrition do you recommend for the liver and to help metabolize those hormones so the clotting is caused by high estrogen?
Yeah, so liver support is so important throughout our lives and through our menstruating lives, but also as we get into perimenopause and menopause as well. And because this metabolism of hormones that goes on in the liver is just so important for our overall hormonal balance. So the liver has over 500 functions in the body, so it's a good idea to support it anyway. But supporting the liver with lots of green leafy vegetables, so all of our brassica vegetables, drinking lots of water, cutting back on caffeine, cutting back on alcohol, and using herbs like dandelion root and milk thistle are really helpful in supporting the liver as well. There's some really easy things that women can do to support their menstrual health, but also their overall health.
Definitely. And I guess you need to have that really clean diet because you don't want that pressure on the liver. You want it to be working well. So I guess not too much alcohol, caffeine or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think, Dora, you would agree that just following an anti-inflammatory diet more generally is not only useful for women, but for everybody. There's so much inflammation caused by the processed foods that we eat, having too much sugar, you know, consuming too much alcohol and caffeine. And just on the sort of the more proactive side, drinking more water and following a sort of a Mediterranean style diet, having lots of beans and pulses, lots of vegetables, oily fish in the diet, cutting back on red meat, all of that is an anti-inflammatory diet that can benefit everyone, male or female.
We talked about flow or the absence of flow. We actually talked about the clot, people that don't have a flow.
So I have a lot of patients that come to me with this issue. But usually it can be anyone of any age, but I tend to see women in their 30s who are thinking about getting pregnant and have started, and because of that, have started taking a real interest in their hormonal health. And if you don't have a cycle, obviously that's very concerning if you want to look after your fertility. But sometimes I get much younger women coming to me with this issue as well, so even in their teens or 20s. So not having a flow can be a real cause for concern, a bit of a red flag. It can be caused by many things. Thyroid imbalances can affect your cycle and your ovulation. Usually if you're not ovulating, then you won't have a menstrual cycle, you won't have a bleed. Younger women who are not eating properly, so they might have some kind of eating disorder, or they might be really into exercise, doing a lot of exercise, and that can also tend to suppress your menstrual cycle as well. Lots of stress in your life, bereavements, history of trauma, that can really affect your menstrual cycle and throw it offline. And even things like PCOS can affect your menstrual cycle and polycystic ovarian syndrome, where you may have hormonal imbalances like high testosterone levels. That can mean your period goes completely off. And also, let's not forget things like taking the pill or having an IUD fitted can also mean that you're suppressing your menstrual cycle. So there's a lot of reasons why your menstrual cycle might go offline, but it's certainly something to take action on if you haven't had a period for, I'd say, 3 months or more.
Are there any lifestyle advice that you could give women to help them to get more in touch with their hormones so that their periods come back? Like, for example, walking out in the sunlight in the morning, relaxation so that the body feels safe, or certain dietary things that can help, or herbs?
Yeah, so I think all of those things that you've mentioned, definitely. For women who have eating disorders, that can be quite complex to unpick. So they will need professional support to help unlock the reason behind those eating disorders and to help them get enough nutrition back into their system that means that their menstrual cycle can return. And obviously, with the younger women who may be really doing too much exercise, some sports people just decide that's the price they're going to pay for their athletic career. But obviously, if you're not an athlete, then cutting back on over-exercising can help you. So yeah, certainly nutrition is a big factor with bringing the menstrual cycle back online. But some of the herbs that I find really helpful with this, herbs like Agnus castus. Oh yeah, that's a really good one. So Agnus castus is a really important herb to use for lots of things related to the menstrual cycle. So it's also called Vitex. Another name for it is chaste tree berry. It grows wild everywhere in Greece. I love going to Greece and seeing it growing everywhere. But it has an indirect progesterone activity in the body. So it can boost progesterone levels. And that can really help with things like premenstrual syndrome and also helping to regulate your cycle. So it really does help to bring your cycle back online or if you've got erratic periods. Especially as you might see in that kind of perimenopausal phase, it can really help to bring your cycle back into a regular pattern, especially if you're getting bleed every 2 weeks, or maybe you're not getting a bleed for 3 months. It can start to help to regulate things again, but you probably need to take it for at least 3 cycles to really get the benefits from it. But yeah, even things like looking at the stress factors in your life as well, that can really impact your period. I've got a client at the moment and she hadn't had a period in a year. And I saw her within 1 cycle, her period has come back from taking herbs that I've given her, but also because we've started really looking at the stress factor. And so coming at this from a bit of a different angle, giving herbs that can help with reducing stress can really help as well. So some of our adaptogens like ashwagandha, or there's another herb I use called skullcap, which is really calming, or even things like chamomile, just drinking chamomile tea can be really helpful. That looking at those stress factors in your life and what you can do about them can have a big impact on your menstrual health.
You talked about the Agnus castus. Some people call it sex, or and taking it for 3 cycles. After the 3 cycles, would they taper off the Vitex or would they carry on?
You would probably carry on, especially if you hadn't had a period for a year and you took Agnus castus for 3 months, came back online, happy days. But I would suggest continuing for at least another 3 cycles before tapering off, just to make sure that you're really confident that your menstrual cycle's back on track.
Let's talk about what happens as we move through a monthly cycle. You mentioned it can last from 21 to 35 days on average. What is happening at that time?
Okay, so let's start with our bleed. That's usually what we class as the first day of our menstrual cycle. So at this time, progesterone, estrogen are very low, and that allows our womb lining to shed. But then we start going into the follicular phase of our cycle, where estrogen really rises and it comes to a peak just before ovulation. So this is really ripening the follicle for ovulation. And then we get to the peak of our cycle, which is ovulation, where the egg is released from the follicle. Then all the hormones, estrogen starts to drop after that while progesterone rises. We then go into our luteal phase. And if there is no pregnancy, if the egg that's released is not fertilized, then the endometrium will start to break down. And as the hormones start to drop, so your progesterone and your estrogen comes down at the end of your cycle, then your womb lining will shed. And obviously in that luteal phase is where you can start to get those sort of premenstrual symptoms that can be a bit challenging. So sometimes we call these different phases after the season. So winter is our menstruation, spring is our pre-ovulation or follicular stage. Then we go into summer, which is the height of our estrogen, which is when we usually feel great and we feel like making babies and everything feels wonderful. We've got lots of energy. And then we start to come down off the hormones as we go into the autumn or the premenstrual luteal phase and then into our bleed.
We need to understand our cycle because it's happening to us every month, hopefully, we're in a good state of health. Yeah. And we're going to be talking a lot more about menstrual blood and what it means about your health with medical herbalist Melinda McDougall after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show, speaking with Melinda McDougall this week. She's a medical herbalist. You can find out more about her on her website, melindamcdougall.com, and it's double L for McDougall. Also download her free guide on how to harness the power of menopause using herbal medicine. And that's available from her website, melindamcdougall.com. Now, we're talking about menstrual blood, the sixth vital sign, and what menstrual blood and your cycle can tell you about the state of your health. We talked about the cramps, the absence of a cycle, the clotty blood, the heavy blood, what's happening in the uterus, what's happening in the hormones, and also understanding our monthly cycle a bit. What can we do to help ourselves have periods? Can we just go through that in a bit more detail?
Absolutely. And I should just explain what I mean as well by the sixth vital sign of health, because this is something that I think the medical profession is starting to acknowledge more. Because when we talk about the vital signs of health, we're talking about really basic things like what's our temperature, what's our pulse, what's our respiratory rate, what's our blood pressure, and what's our oxygen saturation level. These are basic vital signs of health. But obviously, women's health is so under-researched and has been neglected for so long. And actually, a lot of people are now saying that, you know, we should look at menstrual health and the health of our menstrual cycle as the sixth vital sign of women's health. So it's a really important question to ask people when they're coming for a health checkup or having any sort of basic health review. What's your period like? Is it healthy? Because we need to make sure that our menstrual cycles are healthy. And I think that's why as well, a lot of younger people, a lot of younger women really questioning the use of the contraceptive pill as well, which obviously is really can be problematic because we don't want women having lots of unwanted pregnancies, but a lot of younger women are really getting in touch with their menstrual cycles, doing cycle tracking, looking at fertile window and when to avoid them if they don't want to get pregnant. And so they're really connecting in with their menstrual cycle a lot more. And I think it has so much to teach us. And when we are in tune with our menstrual cycle and we have a healthy menstrual cycle. So just coming back to your question about what can we do to make sure that we have a healthy period, it really chimes in with just looking after your overall health. I always think health comes back to some really basic things like get some sleep, do some exercise, eat well, don't eat lots of rubbish, try not to have too much stress in life, which I know can be easier said than done sometimes. But those really basic things are just so fundamental. And when we feel in alignment and we feel healthy, then normally our menstrual cycles are in tune with that. But there can be lots of reasons why you might be doing everything right, but your menstrual cycle may still be a little out of kilter, or you might be experiencing some other issues like pain, for example.
Something I used to suffer from when I was much younger, and before I was a nutritionist, I didn't know about what you could do. And when I had menstrual pain, obviously my mum was worried, because sometimes I literally couldn't actually stand up. It was that painful. And I went to the doctor and I got this methionine acid. It's a very strong painkiller, which did work, but it never really dealt with the problem. Later in life, when I retrained as a nutritionist, that I learned how to look after my own cycle. I always tracked the cycle. And also going back to what you were saying about the pill, a lot of young ladies are just put on the pill because they have pain. They have a heavy period. So the doctor says, let's regulate your cycle. Let's put you on the pill. And it's really ironic because I don't think the pill properly does regulate your cycle. It imposes a cycle.
Yeah.
And it's not your real cycle because you're taking other hormones. So your cycle isn't balanced. It's balanced by outside hormones that you're taking in, not your own hormones. So women need to understand that. So we're not telling people don't take the pill. Just be aware that when it says let's regulate the cycle with the pill, you're actually not doing that. The only way to regulate the cycle is to really connect it, understand what your cycle is telling you, why you might not have a cycle, why it's heavy, why it's painful, why it's difficult, why it's clotty, and then take all those steps that you've been talking about, Melinda, to actually get in tune with it and make it regular. Because this is an amazing sign of health.
Absolutely. And when you're just talking about menstrual pain, you know, I'm a really firm believer that you shouldn't have pain with your period. And there's a lot of women walking around really crippled by debilitating menstrual pain. Sometimes they're unable to go to work, throwing up. I've seen some really extreme cases in my practice. And, you know, thankfully, there is so much we can do to help the pain to stop. Because what's really going on is your uterus is creating these very severe contractions, and in some cases, actually cutting off the blood flow to your uterus. So we have these chemicals in our body called prostaglandins, and they are very much linked to pain and inflammation. So when you have a painful period, you may have a lot of prostaglandin rising in the body. These contractions can be so painful, and your uterus is just desperately trying to shed the womb lining. And these horrible, debilitating contractions can be extremely severe. But there's lots you can do to sort this out. Again, thinking about the circulation around the pelvis. So looking at things like the herbs I've mentioned before, like yarrow and lady's mantle, but also looking at magnesium. Magnesium glycinate can be really helpful for just relaxing those muscles. And lots of people are very low in magnesium in this country. Looking at boosting that up can be very helpful. Also, taking supplements like star flower oil can really help to modulate those prostaglandins. So star flower oil is actually derived from a plant called borage, which is also known as star flower. And as I've said before, looking at gut health, making sure there's no constipation there as well. And there's a brilliant herb that I use a lot of called cramp bark, which does what it says on the tin. And it's been used for hundreds of years to help reduce menstrual cramping. There's also a really good pain-relieving herb called California poppy, which can be, again, very useful when you've got that sort of inflammation and pain going on with your cycle. But linking in all these things together, looking at, is there clotting? What's your gut health like? What is there stagnation and lack of circulation to the pelvis? How do we relax the muscles? What can we do to improve our diet and reduce stress? You know, all of these things come together for a really holistic approach to menstrual pain.
What about discharge?
Yeah, so discharge is a really good one to keep an eye on as well. There could be all sorts of discharge going on through the month. And if you've got a regular normal cycle, what you'd be looking for in the middle of the month when you're ovulating is sort of an egg white, clear, stringy, sticky discharge. And that is a really good sign that you're ovulating and that you're fertile and that your menstrual cycle is working very well. I really like talking about this because whenever I mention it to many, many people, they really have no idea.
I've been fucking dying. I'm so into discharge. I'm always looking at mine. Happening for years. That's how I got pregnant with my husband. My discharge.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really important thing to know about. And so that could be a sign of a very healthy ovulatory period going on. But some things you want to look out for. So you might get a bit of spotting through your cycle, you know, just some drops of blood, and that can be light pink or dark brown. And sometimes when you ovulate, that can be normal. You might have a little bit of blood around ovulation time. I love the German term for the slight pain you might get at ovulation, which is called Mittelschmerz.
Right.
It's such a great term. I think it sums up how it feels, just that Mittelschmerz in the middle of your cycle. So you can get a little bit of spotting sometimes around the middle. Spotting at other times of your cycle can either be of no concern, or it can sometimes be something to worry about if you are getting constantly through many months of bleeds. It can be a sign of womb cancer or cervical cancer. It's definitely worth getting that looked at if it's something that's going on for a long time. It can also be a sign of ovarian cysts rupturing. Sometimes you might get endometrial. If you've got endometriosis, you might get pain at other times of your cycle as well. So yeah, there's some issues with spotting. Then you might also look for discharge that might indicate thrush. So creamy discharge that might also mean that your vulva is a bit itchy as well. Or there might be bacterial vaginosis, which can be a green, watery sort of discharge that can be have quite a strong odor. So looking at your discharge can really tell you lots of things. And also, obviously, you know, we need to consider sexually transmitted diseases as well. There's lots of things to look at. You know, looking at what's going on in your underpants is really important.
To teach this to girls, honestly, at school, you should be looking, because it tells you so much about your state of health and where you can support yourself. It's an indicator. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about menstrual blood, the sixth vital sign, and what it can show us about our health after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition For Me show. And this week we're speaking with Melinda McDougall. She's a medical herbalist. And we're talking about menstrual blood, the sixth vital sign, and what that menstrual blood could be telling us about our health. You can find out about more about Melinda on her website, melindamcdougall.com, with a double L on McDougall. And you can also follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We talked really gone into quite a lot of detail, but I'd like to go a bit deeper and ask you, Melinda, how does paying attention to our cycles help us diagnose and treat other conditions, for example, polycystic ovary syndrome, endometriosis, fibroids, PMS, and infertility?
Absolutely. I think this is so important, and this is why paying attention to your menstrual cycle can really be life-changing. We really need to pay attention to what's going on. And I think for too long, women have just been fobbed off and not listened to when they have really awful heavy periods or lots of pain going on, when actually they actually have very serious conditions like endometriosis or adenomyosis or fibroids or ovarian cysts. And so I think it can sometimes be really challenging to get that diagnosis from a medical professional. But I do hope that times are changing and that people in the medical profession are becoming a lot more aware and to really make sure that they're listening to their patients. But for example, with endometriosis, you might be experiencing some quite heavy bleeding and quite extreme pain. Because obviously what's happening with endometriosis is that your womb lining tissue is actually migrating outside of your uterus. So it might appear around your ovaries, or it might be connected to your bowel, or it might appear around your bladder. So you might get these cells appearing in other parts of your abdominal cavity. And then when you have a period, when you menstruate, those cells are activated, but they're in the wrong part of your abdomen. So they're causing a lot of pain in these other areas. And it can be incredibly debilitating. So that's one issue. Adenomyosis is where the tissue from your womb lining migrates into the wall of your uterus. And that can cause a lot of prolonged bleeding as well, and some pain. And just talking about those two conditions, again, there's a lot we can do to balance hormones. Some of those herbs I've talked about already, like Lady's Mantle and Vitex, can be really helpful here. With really heavy bleeding, there's a fantastic herb I use a lot of called Shepherd's Purse, which is a very old name for a very tiny little plant that has heart-shaped seed pods that once upon a time someone decided looked like a shepherd's purse. But this plant just grows like a weed all over the UK. But in clinical practice, I would use it as a tincture, which is a liquid extract of the herb, or tea. And actually, a lot of midwives are starting to look at this plant. There's more and more research about it because it has this incredible ability to stop heavy bleeding. And so midwives are really interested in for the hemorrhaging that might occur after birth as well. But this is a really important herb if you have any sort of heavy periods. But with endometriosis, the sort of treatment approach for that is a much more holistic and individualized approach that you'd really need to see a practitioner about, that includes looking at dietary changes, herbal medicine support, looking at certain nutritional supplements. But it's obviously an inflammatory condition, and more being studied as potentially an autoimmune condition as well. So that's a whole another conversation. But certainly with heavy periods, you'd also be looking at things like fibroids, and you'd need to get checked for those as well. And heavy bleeds can also cause anemia. So you can end up very, very tired, exhausted. You need to get your iron levels checked if you're having a lot of heavy bleeding. And it's a really important thing to rectify, because if you're exhausted from anemia, you're just not going to be able to function.
And what about infertility? Can our periods tell us about the state of our fertility?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is obviously a big issue for women in their 30s, their sort of early 40s, who are thinking about having children. Obviously, some women in their 20s as well. Most women are having their children in their 30s at the moment. And when they get to that point of thinking, oh, I really want to have a baby, they may have been on the pill. They might have been on the contraceptive pill for a couple of decades in some cases. So they need to think about transitioning off the pill, getting to know their menstrual cycle again. Hello, stranger. Not seen that for a while if you've been on the pill for a long time. And really getting to know king your cycle, getting to know your fertile window. If you don't have a cycle, if you don't have a period, then obviously we've talked about how you might rectify that. But also starting to recognize, is everything feeling normal? Am I getting really awful PMS? Am I ovulating at the right time? Am I experiencing pain and heavy bleeds? Does something feel off with my menstrual cycle? You can still get pregnant even if your menstrual cycle is not entirely 100% perfect, but it's just good to really start to do a bit of work around your fertility. And obviously ongoing infertility is something that you, if you can't rectify it, sort of lifestyle changes, herbal medicine, nutritional support, then you're obviously looking at getting further support from IVF.
Melinda, how do our cycles change as we get older?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I do a lot of work with women going through perimenopause and menopause, and that That's my love. That's my passion in life. And women really start to notice the changes in their menstrual cycle as they get to their mid-40s. Sometimes earlier, sometimes we can have very early menopause in our 30s even. And so just really noticing when your menstrual cycle starts to become erratic. Are you getting bleeds every 2 weeks? Or maybe are you getting a bleed every 3 months? Sometimes periods can become a lot heavier as you get into perimenopause, and that can become quite debilitating, lead to anemia, as we've mentioned. Getting to know what you're keeping an eye on your menstrual cycle is such a good indicator of where you're heading into that perimenopausal phase. And obviously the average age of menopause in the UK is 52. And that usually means that by that time, you've not had a period for one whole year. So again, keeping an eye on that's really important, because sometimes you might, because sometimes we are busy, we don't pay attention to our menstrual cycles. And sometimes you can think, oh God, I've not had a period for sort of 3 months. What's going on there? And just these little things that we need to keep an eye on, just such good indicators of where we are in life. And if you're heading into perimenopause, it can be an indicator that you might need to think about getting other support as you go through perimenopause and thinking about how you can really support your body as you're going through that transition.
Melinda, we've talked a bit about how we can work with our cycles and listen to what our bodies are telling us. But as we close our show today, are there any final tips for the ladies listening out there on working with our cycles and listening to what our body is telling us?
Yeah, so I really like the concept of looking at our cycles as seasons, as parts of our cycle, as different seasons. So looking at menstruation as winter, then heading into that pre-ovulation phase, looking at that as spring, going into ovulation as summer, and then the pre-menstrual phase is autumn. And I think that is a really clever concept that tells us how we might work with our cycles and be in sync with our cycles. So, for example, when you're heading into that autumn phase, that pre-menstrual phase, that's usually a time when women want to dial things back a little bit, not do lots of crazy strenuous exercise. They might feel a little bit more like hibernating, and obviously they might feel a bit more emotional and hypersensitive, so they might not want to socialize so much as well. And I think, you know, that you can dive into these concepts in a lot more depth, but I just think it's a really lovely thing to start to get into the rhythm of your cycle and to see how you can make that work for you, how you can work out, oh, at this part of my cycle, I'm going to have lots more energy. So I'm going to try and do more exercise or see more people, schedule certain meetings for that time of my cycle. And of course, it's not always possible. Of course, we have to push on through and do things when we're not feeling like it. But I think if we can just be more mindful, then we can certainly reap the benefit of being in tune with our menstrual cycle.
Melinda, it's been lovely speaking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about menstrual blood, the sixth vital sign, and what that menstrual blood could be telling us about our health. If anyone wants more information about Melinda McDougall, you can find out more about her on her website, melindamcdougall.com. And you can also follow her on Insta, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.